Attention all small biz owners. At the UPS store, you can count on us to handle your packages with care. With our certified packing experts, your packages are properly packed and protected. And with our pack and ship guarantee, when we pack it and ship it, we guarantee it. Because your items arrive safe or you'll be reimbursed. Visit the upsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Product services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Come into your local store today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
I'm Emma Kenny. Welcome to Bang to Rights, the deep dive crime podcast, which takes you through some of the most heinous crimes the world has ever seen. Let's talk about today's case. Let's talk about the mother in this case, first of all, Katrina Mendoza. It goes without saying that Katrina Mendoza had a lot of struggles growing up. In fact, her own mother had been arrested and charged with beating her brother. So we're talking about dysfunction from the get-go. And of course, when you were a child growing up in those really, really challenging experiences and scenarios, then it can leave you with real scars, trauma, and all the things that go with it. But for the most part, people who experience or witness violent situations growing up actually become the complete opposite of that. They love their children, they provide for their children, they go out of their way to be the best parent possible because you know what it's like to feel like they haven't experienced that themselves personally. But of course, sometimes those scars can fester and, like sepsis to some degree, overwhelm the human being that should be a good parent, but falls so short it is unbelievable. So Mendoza at the time lived off and on with her relatives as a child because there were problems obviously with her mother. She also lived with her godparents. So again, a lot of destabilizing experiences. We all know that children need a sense of security. For secure attachment, you need to have primary caregivers on the whole who make you feel safe. And when you don't have that, it absolutely creates fractures in your foundation. And it means that you're going to have bigger struggles than people who've been given typically nice environments with loving parents to grow up with. And that goes without saying. It's obvious, but I'm going to say it anyway, because I think we always have to think about attachment and abandon and how that plays into our psyche. Some of you will know exactly what I'm talking about because it will have happened to you and you will have had to rebuild your sense of self and confidence and all the things that go with it because you were let down horribly as kids. Now, Mendoza, because of this, is going to have likely more problems with relationships because you want to belong. And when you've had a problem in belonging because you've had a parent or parents who fell short, it can mean that you're a lot more open and vulnerable to getting involved in relationships that aren't potentially good for you. And she does begin a relationship when she's a teenager and she ends up having two daughters as a teen. Now, again, there'll be a ton of people who come to this video and you will have a baby at 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and you'll be an awesome parent. That goes without saying. There are a ton of people out there who are awesome parents, no matter how young they were when they gave birth. However, if you have got fractures, if you've got dysfunction, if you had a destabilized environment, and then you have two children in quick succession when you're a teenager, understandably, on a stress level, that is going to be harder for you than it's potentially going to be for somebody who's in a relationship that's stable and has a decent economy and all the things that go with all of those foundations leading them to that moment. So there are some problems for her. She's now a young mother and she has to deal with all the financial strains and also being on her own because she ends up being a single mum. Now she actually has two little girls. So that's 5-year-old Mercedes at the time of this crime, and Mercedes had an older sister who is 6-year-old Jordan Lasoya. Both of the girls were said to be absolute best friends. I mean, there's a very small age gap there. And what we see psychologically and actually connection-wise is when children aren't necessarily in a big system, so they've not actually gone to school for a long period of time. They haven't formed that identity with being an individual and being a different chronology than their sibling. If they're quite close together and they spend a lot of time together, they are best friends because that's the person they spend most of their time with. They're on an age development level, which is absolutely similar, and therefore they're very, very bonded. So they get on really, really well as sisters. And the family actually said, listen, these two little girls were absolutely inseparable, as they should be, because of course, there is a direct reflection when you have a sibling that is a person who absolutely and undeniably knows what it is like to be with you all the time and to share your space. So they connect really effectively. And one of the things that was said about Mercedes was that she was just a child who was really friendly, really playful, and people said that she was genuinely a joy to be around. And when you look at pictures of her, she's gorgeous. And you can see that she just looks full of life. And this is in spite of some of the challenges that she definitely was facing from the onset in her life on Earth, essentially. And Mercedes was genuinely described by people as being so sweet. She was also somebody who was said to love God. She loved going to church, she loved school, and she absolutely adored her sister. Her Aunt Emily LaSoya said that she was just a child that lit up every room. Now, Mendoza's relationship with the girl's father was happy with respect at first, but apparently it did end very badly. Now, the girl's paternal grandmother and aunt actually kept in touch with Mendoza because they wanted to see the girls. So this isn't a story where a relationship breaks down and the father's side of the family lose contact with the children. Quite the contrary, it is clear that they want a relationship with the girls and they want to keep in touch with the girls. And their grandmother actually said that she told Mendoza, "I will always be in their lives and you will always be welcome in our home." So yeah, the relationship ends badly, but not with the family. And that's real testament to the human beings that were the elders in that family. They're grown up enough, they're mature enough to see that the children are not to blame. No matter what's gone on between the parents, the reality is they should negate that and they should always want to support the children. And they're doing that. So there's a lot of support there. So keep that in mind when we talk about this particular case, because I will never accept that there is a reason to raise a hand to a child. I will never accept that. I used to teach compassionate parenting. That means that we don't shout, we don't raise our hands. Not everyone agrees with me. Some of you at home will be going, I couldn't possibly do that. I grew up in a home where everybody shouted to get heard, but I chose a very different path for my children. And I teach it because of the fact that it's been really effective at reducing conflict and making communication really accessible and really proficient and really effective. But everyone is different. What I'm saying is that when you see situations where, let's say there are shouters and even hitters with children, for the most part, even when they are shouting, even when they are hitting, it is within a frame of reference that is not classed as highly abusive. I don't agree with it, but it's not classed as highly abusive. It's a slap on the wrist or a slap on the bottom. It's a shouting at them because they've done something wrong. But we also can see that there's a spectrum. So if you've had an unstable life, you yourself have been treated very badly as a child, sometimes you will put into practice what you've learned. But when you have support around you who can say, listen, if it's getting too much for you, if you have a real problem parenting these children, you need some space, and we're available to help you find that space, you should know that if you are frustrated and angry and you're going to lose the plot, you have a place to put those children. And so I have very little sympathy with any parent, including the parent I'm covering today.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit Lowe's.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help you save.
Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous US only.
When that support is available and yet they choose not to access it. And in fact, they choose not to access it at the biggest cost possible to their child. Now, the father's family are very observant. And one of the things that concerns them greatly is the fact that Mendoza, who's meant to be this mother who would understandably love her children, seems to favour just one of her kids. She'd always favour Jordan over Mercedes. Now, according to psychological research, and there's a lot out there, you can go and have a look at it online, a lot of that research evidences that this is not unusual. So there are a lot of parents out there who can put their hands up and say, yeah, I get it, I prefer one of my kids. I grew up in a family where that 100% was the case. Me and my sister know that my brother was far more favoured by my mother than we were, and that's okay, because we were still safe and we were still cared for, but you can feel it. But when you are in a scenario where a parent is actively favouring a young child, the message that that young child is getting constantly is, you're different, you're not good enough, you're not as loved. And the scars that that can create with children is huge and long-term. And again, it's something that I know that a lot of you will be watching right now and you'll be resonating with it. You'll be thinking, yep, that happened to me. And for a lot of us, it's incalculably impossible to imagine ever doing that to our own children, because we adore them equally. They're all very different. It doesn't mean that you get on with one another as well as you might with another child, because actually the truth is that you get compatible relationships and you get relationships that take a little bit more hard work. But the reality is you don't favour a child actively or obviously, because you are aware as a good parent on the whole that it will hurt them. But nonetheless, it's very evident in this case. So it's not as if she's trying to hide it, because most parents, if they feel, well, actually I prefer this child because this child isn't giving me any hassle, this child connects with me, we're more relatable, you know, you feel that way. So therefore you do every effort within your nature that's possible to actually make the other child feel absolutely as equal and loved in the relationship. And of course we can absolutely love our children exactly the same and like one of the children more, because we go through periods and shifts and changes where a child might be acting in a way that isn't that favourable to your life, for example. But in the case of Mercedes and Jordan, it is clear that Jordan is the preferred child. Now, in November 2021, Katrina Mendoza ends up dating Jose Angel Ruiz. The pair meet at a strip club. This is where Mendoza works. And again, I lived above a bar in King's Cross in Australia. Literally, it was a strip club. I had friends who were strippers. I get it. Lots of people are in the sex industry who are good, decent, hardworking human beings, and they do it to make money, and they can make quite a bit of money. But there is a real undercurrent and subculture there that can bring a lot of darkness to people's lives as well. And if you add her working in that strip club and the people that she's going to be meeting who attend that strip club, she's going to be more vulnerable to meeting the wrong kind of guy. Because with respect, I know that a lot of men go to strip clubs. There'll be some women who go to strip clubs. But genuinely, the biggest proportion of males don't, because they believe that it's not acceptable. And if you have an acceptability level of going to these kind of places, the chances are that your boundaries are a little bit more flexible than a typical person's boundaries would be. So to that degree, it means that she's probably more at risk of meeting somebody who isn't particularly good for her. Now, at the same time of those two meeting and starting dating, the family actually start to recognise there's a big change in Mercedes. So they can feel that since he's walked into her life, she has shifted in her behaviours and attitude, and it concerns them. Now, the relationship lasts for months, and at this point, Katrina decides that she wants to move into Riz's home, and she's going to take her two daughters with her. Again, I do appreciate there'll be people out there who have moved their kids in quickly with a new partner. I do not feel that's appropriate. And the reason I say that, get involved quickly with somebody, that's fine. Fall in love quickly, that's fine. But when you move your children into somebody else's accommodation, firstly, they have the power. You're in their home, and that can make you feel at a real disadvantage when it comes down to making the rules and also making it clear how you expect them to treat your children. But also, you don't know that person. Anyone can be nice for a few months. Anyone can seem like a stand-up guy or a stand-up girl for a few months, but a year down the line, they may be a whole different human being. And the thing about relationships is, if it's going to work out, you always have time. So make sure that you place your kids first. But Ruiz is one of those human beings who's probably manipulated her to believe that he's a safe bet. And we already know that Mendoza is not the best parent, particularly to Mercedes. So she's probably very egocentrically thinking about her own needs, moving the daughters in with him and her. Now, during this particular time, the girl's paternal family, they can't even find the girls or Katrina. So as we know, the paternal side of the family have said, we want a relationship with Jordan and Mercedes. We want to keep in contact with them. And we don't want you to feel like you've been ostracized from the family because your relationship is broken down with their father. Keep in touch. But she doesn't. And it gets to a point where they're so concerned about the girls because they literally cannot find them or any trace of them that the aunt calls Child Protective Services on Katrina multiple times because she's so worried about the girls, and she has a right to. Children are not your property. They're a gift. And as that gift, they are to be shared with the people who love and care for them. And to deny that is to deny those children the rich fabric of childhood relationships. And yet she's doing that wholeheartedly. So it's great that the aunt in this case is actually electing to call Child Protective Services and saying, listen, we want to find out where the children are. We want to know what's happening to them. And it's testament to somebody who cares deeply. And I talk all the time about risk offending on this channel because a lot of people will just stay silent. They won't take action and terrible consequences occur. In this case, though, the paternal family are chasing the kids, are speaking to Child Protective Services. Is it going to make a difference? No. Why? Because a lot of people in that world who are meant to be doing their jobs don't do those jobs very effectively. Now, just 3 weeks, let that sink in, just 3 weeks after they've moved into Riz's home on the 7th of February, 2022, Katrina Mendoza runs into Texas Vista Medical Center with Mercedes. Mercedes is unconscious. She's 5. She's unconscious. She is seriously, seriously unwell. And Katrina Mendoza is screaming, save my baby. But don't get blindsided by that apparent emotion, because you'll clearly see in a moment that it doesn't come from a real place. And if she's hysterical in any way, shape or form, it's for herself and not for that little girl that she's brought in. So the reason that Mercedes has been brought into hospital at that point is because she became unresponsive, not because she shouldn't have been at hospital long before that point, because it's very clear that Mercedes would have been super ill for a long period of time. Now, the staff immediately take Mercedes to work on her. They're trying desperately to resuscitate her. But in spite of all of those efforts, and let's be clear, when it is a child, and don't get me wrong, I know when you're an adult, you get taken care of by the services that are there to look after you. But let me tell you, when it's a kid, they work hard and long to try to bring that child back. They want children to survive. I think that anybody who works in pediatrics or anyone who works in A&E and are dealing with a pediatric case that's so severe that they might die or have died, they are desperate to change the outcome. But it's too late. She's pronounced dead minutes later, literally minutes later. So again, she was way too far gone at that point to be saved. So her time of death was noted at 19:18 p.m. Now, the medical experts who are looking at Mercedes can see straight away there is absolutely no way this is just a single event, because Mercedes has clearly suffered horrendously. Her whole body is covered in bruising and injuries. So they immediately have suspicions about how this has occurred. They call the police, so San Antonio police are called because of the appearances on her body. And at that point, they immediately know that they're dealing with something far more sinister than a child who's just had some kind of tragic accident or gone through a choking episode. This is a child who has been killed. Ruiz is arrested on the night of Mercedes' death because essentially he has a firearm. And apparently he was barred from having that firearm, but that's enough to mean that they can bring him in. Now, the police were really concerned also about Mercedes' sister, Jordan. Obviously, they'd already heard that the paternal family hadn't actually been able to locate where either child was. So now they want to know, where's Jordan? What about her condition? What about her whereabouts? But you know what? They find her with absolutely no signs of physical abuse. Now, the very fact that one child is well and hasn't been abused evidences that people can make choices. This isn't about somebody losing control. This isn't about somebody unable to manage their emotional sense of self to a point where they just lose the plot. No. If one child is dead because they've been horrendously abused and the other child is absolutely fine, it's because people have elected to abuse one child as opposed to the other, meaning they could elect to do neither. And that, again, shows a level of callousness. Of course, somebody losing control and harming a child, there's no excuse for it. But imagine being so calculated, so proficient in your understanding of what you wish to achieve where children are concerned and abuse is concerned, that you absolutely pinpoint an individual. And we see this within abusive families. Very often, you will have a few children.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Children who were okay. And actually they would tell child protection services, my mum or my dad is amazing. They're always really kind. And then one child will have been locked in a closet and starved. They'll have been made to sit in their own excrement for weeks in the same family. And that's because predators and perpetrators of abuse know, well, if I just take it out on this individual, if this individual complains, all these other individuals in the family are going to say that they're the liar and they're the problem, and I'm not going to look like the abuser that I actually am. Now, Jordan, like I said, has got no bruising. There's no signs of physical abuse. But of course, a child has died, so she ends up getting removed from the home. She's placed into the care of CPS. So Jordan hasn't just lost her sister. She's also lost her mother, because bear in mind, her mother obviously hasn't treated her terribly. So it's a double blow for her. Everything that she's known has now been removed. And at the same time, she's in a scenario where her best friend is never going to come home because she's been murdered. Now, when Mendoza's questioned by the authorities, she does exactly as we would expect. She says that her boyfriend, Jose Ruiz, has abused Mercedes. She pins all the blame on him. As if you can ever do that as a mother. You can never say, if you have allowed this abuse to play out in front of your own eyes, that you did not have options. Even if you have the most evil human being controlling you, abusing you, threatening you, the minute that they turn their hand to your child and they start to harm your child, you need to throw yourself in front of them and you need to take all of the blows yourself, because that is what a mother does. If you have allowed your child to be attacked, beaten, abused, you are complicit. Unless you are turning up all but dead because you've also been beaten head to toe whilst trying to protect your child. You turn up without bruises, without injuries, and your child has been battered to a pulp. You, as a mother, are the reason for it as well. So I give absolutely no leverage or excuse to a woman who has allowed a man to completely decimate their child in front of their own eyes. She then goes on to tell the police that the abuse has started about 3 weeks earlier, which will be a lie. It will have been far longer term than that, believe me. And also, you've had 3 whole weeks to get your ass out of that situation. You've had 3 whole weeks to talk to the people who love those children with you, apparently, because you're going to pretend that you love them. You've got the paternal side of the family who would have happily looked after them. You've had lots of options and you've done nothing to protect your child. But essentially, this is what she says played out. For 3 weeks, Ruiz had basically been disciplining Mercedes because she, as a mother, was struggling. She, as a mother, was finding it hard to discipline Mercedes. So she asked him to discipline her child. So essentially, not only is she saying, oh, I didn't do any of this abuse, I didn't actually cause the harm. No, but you are saying that you specifically requested Ruiz to come in and to discipline your child for you, which it seems he clearly happily did. She said that he would punish Mercedes by making her hold up heavy items and pinching her. So this is torture. Let's be clear, this is torture. She also said, surprisingly, guys, you know, surprisingly, that the abuse continued when her daughters moved in with Ruiz. Let's just break that down. So can we just check this out? You're saying that Ruiz, the guy that you asked to discipline your child, actually started disciplining your child before you moved in. Yeah, yeah, he did. He disciplined my child before we moved in because I asked him to. So he's already disciplining, stroke, abusing your child before you move in. Yeah, yeah. And then you move in? Yeah, yeah. And then it got worse. Yeah, yeah. Are you an absolute idiot? Yeah, 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 I am. Honestly, of course it got worse because he's with her 24/7 now. It's not like Ruiz is going about his life being a pro-social human, going and being a good, diligent worker. No, he's there all the time. She said that she had actually witnessed Ruiz physically beat Mercedes with belts and also with his hands when he was wearing rings. So you can imagine the pain that little child was going through. She's five. She also said that she'd witnessed him, and this is something that makes bile rise in my throat and anger rise in my belly. He shoved dog feces into her daughter's mouth. Then he did the same with a sock soaked in urine. I mean, aside from the obvious, which is the unsanitary reality of what he does and how dangerous that would be for a young child at 5 years of age to have dog feces put in their mouth, it's about degrading the child. It's about humiliating the child. It's about terrifying the child. Just put yourself in that position for 1 minute, guys. You are with somebody who is meant to be disciplining your child, and all of a sudden they pick up dog feces and they shove that dog feces in your child's mouth. What are you gonna do? I'm imagining, certainly for those of you in the States, it's probably gonna be, I'm gonna walk over to the gun drawer or the gun locker or whatever you have guns in. I'm not very au fait with that stuff over here. But certainly, even when we don't have things like guns available to us, they're heavy objects, aren't they? And I imagine they'd be landing directly on the perpetrator's head. But no, he gets away with doing this, he gets away with getting a sock soaked in urine and shoving it in her mouth, and this is all about degrading the child who is five. Now, of course, when he's asked about this, he just says, I didn't do any of it. I didn't hurt her in this way. It's all lies. He said, no, what I did is I just smacked her on the bottom from time to time. And of course, I would give a timeout, I'd stand her in the corner. So we've got a child, black and blue from head to toe, dead. And it's being recounted by the mother on one side that all these horrible things are happening. But apparently, miraculously, when Ruiz is talking about it on reflection, it's just normal parenting stuff. And he hasn't got a clue what's going on. Denies doing any of the acts that Mendoza's alleged. And he actually said, no, listen, it's Mendoza, the mother in this case, who beat Mercedes. And he said, it's actually Mercedes' sister who was ripping out portions of her head. Because that was one of the sad things that had been noted by the hospital staff when she lost her life, that there were areas of her hair that had clearly been pulled out. So he's just blaming the little sister. So he's just blaming her older sister and her mother for all of these injuries. But even though I don't want to in any way, shape or form defend mother in this situation, these kind of injuries have not happened prior to her being involved with Ruiz. So there is absolutely a connection between her getting with him and the abuse escalating. We know that she didn't like Mercedes as much as she liked Jordan. But that doesn't mean that she was abusing physically Mercedes. Nonetheless, when she gets with him, I would imagine that she does become more physical with her daughter because there's a permission base there. And what we know is she's not acting in any way like a caring parent who wants to protect her child when this guy is battering her daughter. So like I said, there's a complicity there, and I would imagine a permission base as well. Now, when Mercedes' six-year-old sister Jordan's interviewed, because obviously they have specialists do this, but as a witness to this experience or as an individual involved in the household, even if she didn't witness anything, they absolutely can interview her as a witness. And she does actually corroborate her mother's version of events. And she said, you know, my sister was treated really, really badly. She's six. She's having to describe to investigators, specialists say maybe, but nonetheless, she's having to describe the horrors that she watched her sister manage and deal with on a day-to-day basis. Now, it only takes a few days after Mercedes' death, in fact, it's the 10th of February, that Mercedes' mother, who is 22 at the time, and her boyfriend, 25-year-old Jose Ruiz, is arrested in connection with Mercedes' death. At this point, they're charged with injury to a child, and the arrest affidavit, wow, it just revealed the most horrific details. So I'm just going to go through those details and remember when I'm saying this, because I am always aware that these are words and we get used to hearing these things, but I always want to just remember the fact that we're talking right now about a five-year-old child. I'm sure a lot of you have got five-year-olds in your own life. We all remember being 5 years of age, how childish we are, how innocent we are, how naive we are, how scared we are at times, and how we need protection above everything else, and how in this case, it falls short so miserably. So that report indicated that she was missing sections of hair from her head. She had obvious visible bruises. She had scratches, cuts. She had a swelling on almost every visible portion of her body. Every visible portion. It said that Mercedes had suffered extreme physical abuse and torture for several weeks. So this little girl, on a daily basis, was being tortured beyond belief. Now, both Mendoza and Ruiz were actually indicted on 13 counts. Katrina Mendoza, unsurprisingly, took a plea deal. Yeah, she was like, you know what? I'm just going to say it was all his fault and I'm just going to take a plea deal, meaning that I might one day get freedom. That's what it's about. Do I believe that somebody like Katrina Mendoza, who allows her child to be decimated, should ever breathe free air? Absolutely not. If you can be complicit in the murder of your child, you can be complicit in the murder of anyone, because you just don't have a boundary. It's as simple as that. Now, more than 2 years after Mercedes' death, this is on the 12th of March, 2024, the trial actually began for 27-year-old Jose Ruiz. That was at the 187th District Court, and he was faced with 8 charges and a possible life sentence. I would say, let's be clear, a probable life sentence, a life sentence that should absolutely be the case when it comes down to giving him one, because he denied a five-year-old life. Now, in the opening speech, the prosecutors were very, very strong. They laid out the case to the jury very, very effectively. They said, in this case, you're going to have to see things that no one should ever have to see, let alone that a child at the age of 5 should have to endure. Marissa Giovenco was the person who actually did this opening statement, the assistant district attorney. She then went on to speak of how Mercedes' older sister...
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Jordan had a front row seat to the horrific abuse. Also, a day before Mercedes' death, Mendoza and the girls had actually moved out of Ruiz's home. They were staying with a friend, which was at the same apartment complex. So essentially, she'd withdrawn from the home of her apparent boyfriend. She was staying with a friend. And on one level, we can say, oh, was she trying to withdraw herself from the relationship? But what is going on if your child is so seriously unwell that you're at another place now, you're not in his control, and you've still not done anything effective to get the help that your child absolutely needs? Now, as ever, during the trial, they brought in a lot of witnesses. An ER nurse who tried to help Mercedes, she actually testified that Mercedes had injuries literally all over her body. And for those staff, you'd never get used to this stuff. And even though they see horrible things on a daily basis, they see children with horrific injuries, they see people die because that is the nature of ER, it's rare to have a child homicide. So even if you are a seasoned nurse with years of experience, decades of experience, many times you have never actually come face to face with a child who has been murdered by caregivers. Now, that nurse said there was generalized bruising posteriorly and inferiorly. There were scratches, missing areas of her hair on her head, wounds to her feet and toenails. She was actually missing two toenails on her left foot. And this nurse went on to say the child had food in her mouth still on arrival. Mum said that she was feeding the child when she passed out and hit her head on a lamp. She propped up the child and continued to feed her. Now, again, that just shows abject neglect. I suppose somebody could say, well, at least she was feeding her. No, what was happening there is Mercedes was seriously ill. And as a mother, she's thinking to herself, Jesus, what do I need to do? What can I do to make my child come round? Something's going on. I need to make her better. So all of a sudden, she's desperately trying to get food into the child's mouth, probably because the child has been denied food and it's going horribly wrong because it's too late. She's not going to be able to eat. She's literally dying. Also, this nurse said that there was bruising in different stages of healing. That's very important where child protection is concerned because it means that you can see that the actual abuse has been protracted. If you have a situation where a child comes in bruised and they are new bruises, you can see it's a single event. If there are different colourings of bruises, it means that that has been going on for a period of time. Now, the recordings of interviews of Mercedes' sister Jordan, they get played in court. How distressing for the jury because, of course, you're listening to a child recalling the horror that that child had to go through every day. Now, these recorded conversations were actually from a forensic interview just after Mercedes had died. And this is an extract from it. Bear in mind, this is a child speaking, so it's not going to be eloquent in the way that you or I would be. But nonetheless, it's very clear that she saw, felt and heard everything. She said, my mom started stepping on her feet and then she got little tiny things right there. And then Jose started putting thumbtacks in her feet. That's right. This little girl watched them put pins in her sister's feet. She was witness to that. And what kind of a human being would insert literal pins into a child's feet? Can you imagine the agony? I mean, I've watched my baby have heel pricks when she's had to have blood taken. And it's devastatingly upsetting for them because they feel like they've got no control. It hurts. Imagine having thumbtacks put into your feet and left there, which is exactly what's happening to Mercedes. Jordan went on to say, she was in the closet and then she peed on herself. And then Jose said, lick the pee. And then she licked it. I mean, of course she did, because she's going to do whatever he tells her to do because this guy is going to beat her senseless otherwise. Her sister went on to say, and then she smelled like pee, and then Jose started putting thumbtacks. Last time Jose hit my sister's mouth and slapped her, and these two teeth came out. I mean, honestly, just listening to that testimony of a little girl talking about her sister's teeth being knocked out, you know, imagine the force that that takes. I mean, we all know how strong our teeth are, even when we're children, how they can withstand often impacts. I mean, we've all been in situations as kids where we fell over and knocked seven bells out of ourselves on the floor, but our teeth rarely come out. But her two teeth came out and she is five. It is absolutely harrowing to imagine that that happened to her and also was witnessed by her sister. And the very fact that he is humiliating this child by making her literally lick pee because she's been denied the sanitary conditions that she deserves. Now, during the trial, Ruiz's lawyers, they just tried to convince the jury that it was all Mercedes' mother who was abusing the child. Of course, that's the way you're going to play it as a defence. And the reason for that is, as a jury, it's your job to decide, do you absolutely know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, beyond reasonable doubt, that you are convicting somebody fairly? So if I, as a defence lawyer, can make you feel, oh, it could have been the mother in this case, it's going to be more challenging for me to actually say, yes, that person needs to go to prison for the rest of their lives. I could get it wrong. It could be that the woman, the mother in this case, is the problem factor. So that's why the defence used this kind of tactic. Defence said that Jordan had said that on the day of Mercedes' death, their mother, Katrina, was apparently jamming food down Mercedes' mouth, and Mercedes apparently was spitting it up. Of course she was. Like I said, she was dying. And again, the abandonment of nurture there is unbelievable, isn't it?
And said that day that her mother was, Jordan's word, jamming food down Mercedes' mouth. Mercedes kept spitting it up. She was being gorged, kept spitting it up. Katrina got mad, according to Jordan's statement. I wasn't there. And she said she jammed the spoon down her throat.
Because as a parent, you know when your child is seriously ill, or you know when your child is in pain. And the last thing you're going to do when you're really concerned about them is shove food into the mouth, because that's going to add to their problems. She's doing that because she's panicked and she's desperate to hope that everything's going to be all right. So she's not thinking about Mercedes and her knees. She's thinking about her knees as a parent. She's thinking about her knees as a woman. She's thinking about her knees as a human who wants to get away with the reality of what's playing out. She wants to pretend it's all going to be okay. She can just get her daughter to swallow this food, which her daughter can't. It's way too late for that. Now, according to Jordan's statement, Mendoza then gets mad and actually jams the spoon down Mercedes' throat. And Mercedes was so affected by that, she's so weak anyway, that she actually falls off the chair. I have no doubt whatsoever that that's 100% happened, because Mendoza has no patience with this child anyway. Mendoza has allowed this man to absolutely abuse and torture her daughter for a long period of time, and now her daughter isn't doing what she wants, so she's being the problem that she's always considered that she is, so she's going to shove that food down her throat until she swallows it and does what she wants. But like I said, it's all way too late. Mercedes is dying. Now, according to Jordan, at this point when she's fell off the chair, she then takes Mercedes to Jose Ruiz, and then he tries to give her CPR, and at this point they end up going to the hospital. Way too late. What would you do if your child becomes critically ill? If you've been shoving food into their mouth innocently, even though I don't believe that could happen, but nonetheless, you've got it wrong, or suddenly whilst your child's eating, they look really unwell and you feel that they need help. Would you go to your boyfriend, or would you go to a medical practitioner? You are going to be blue light and get as quickly as you can to hospital to make sure that your child is taken care of, but not in this case. Now, she takes Mercedes to the very person who has basically put her in that position. He gives her CPR and then they go to hospital. But like I said, this is all way too late. Now, of course, another thing that's brought into court is the issue of the Department of Family and Protective Services, because they had actually investigated the family for abuse and neglect multiple times. So the argument here is, listen, they bear some responsibility for this little girl's death. I would wholeheartedly agree with that. But you can't blame CPS for the actual murder. That lies at the hands of the perpetrators. But we absolutely have to look at the failings. It happens time and time again. So the CPS were also brought into court to testify, and they said a month before Mercedes' death, they had basically stopped by the home after a call was made to check on the girls. And they said that at the time of their visit, they didn't believe anything was wrong. This is something that really boils my blood, because who makes that decision on one visit? Who makes a decision that, oh, everything's fine? Clearly, nothing was fine. Clearly, if they had actually bothered to do an effective visit, they would have recognised within a month of that child's death that something was seriously amiss. Where is the conversation with the children separate to the parent? Where is the opportunity for the child to show bruises? Where is the opportunity for the social worker to actually sit down and have that conversation? But no, they just turn up, knock on, and think, well, it's all okay. And that, again, is why children are murdered, because there are these huge failures systemically in our society, in the Western world, where children who should be protected are failed to be protected. Now, Ryan Carhill, who's a police officer who responded to the hospital call, he also came into court to testify, and he said that when he arrived at the hospital, Mendoza was, quote, attempting to appear very upset, but I do not feel, based on my experience, that she was legitimately upset. And I get it. We all grieve differently. We all deal with trauma differently. But these guys and girls who work in this field, they just get a sense of it. They just have that intuition. They've got years of experience. They've been there before where they've seen people lose their lives, and they know the reactions of the family, those who go numb, those who go hysterical, those who absolutely are numb. And there are individuals that just feel like they're off in the way that they present. And that's absolutely the case in this situation. In court, they also play audio of Ruiz's interview with the police, and they also play it from the night of Mercedes' death. At first, he basically says exactly what we'd imagine, which is he denies doing anything wrong. But he says that Mendoza and her child had lived it with him at the apartment. He said the two of them had dated for around a year on and off, and that she'd moved in a month ago. He said, listen, the only way that I discipline the girls is I get them to stand in the corner or I might spank them. But then in the interview, as they press him further, he starts to describe the abuse that he had in his own childhood. He said that his mother had remarried after his dad was sent to prison for raping a child. I mean, that in itself is horrific for any child to experience, to know that your father is a child rapist and to know that you are being brought up by somebody as such a predator. That must have been devastating. But then his mother, who obviously has an eye for predators, basically meets a guy who becomes his stepfather, and that stepfather abuses him. So he would be forced to hold up weights for long periods of time. And he, therefore, when we think about some of the abuse that's happened to Mercedes, is actually projecting and replicating this into his own parenting style, which is just devastating for Mercedes. And we can absolutely feel total empathy for Ruiz as a child. He never deserved that. But my God, wouldn't you imagine that that would mean that you were the least likely to go ahead and inflict that on anybody else? Because you knew how awful it was for you when you endured it. He also, in that interview, described how Jordan was favoured by her mother. We all know that that happened. It's testified by the rest of the family as well. He said that Mercedes was bad and Jordan was good. Again, that's absolute BS. Mercedes wasn't bad. It was just that they made her seem bad to permission-based abuse. That's what abusers always do. It's not our fault, it's her fault. If she was just good, we wouldn't have to beat her so badly. If she was just good, we wouldn't have to shove dog feces in her mouth. If she was just good, we wouldn't have had to kill her. That is the way that perpetrators are around victims. But he said the injuries to Mercedes' body were not his fault. But then he later admits that whilst he disciplined Mercedes, he did actually pinch her. But he said literally that's all. So it goes from, I just used to stand her in the corner, to, oh, I did spank her, to, oh, I did pinch her. When he actually gets deeper into that interview, it obviously becomes a bit concerning for him, and he ends up ending the interview asking for a lawyer. Now, the other thing that was played in court was the 911 call. So neighbours of Ruiz's apartment had actually been calling the police.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
For, wait for it, guys, 2 months. 2 months. Now, you know how I am on this channel. I'm constantly perplexed and frustrated and angered when people who hear children in distress do nothing. But the way I feel knowing that for 2 months, neighbours of Ruiz had been calling the police, reporting the fact that they heard a child crying in pain, and essentially nothing was really done about it, is heartbreaking. And it's more than heartbreaking. It's despicable on the authorities' part. One neighbour actually told the dispatcher that he thought the neighbour was severely beating the child. So this neighbour is on the money. This neighbour is going out of their way to make themselves unpopular to protect a child. We all need neighbours like that. Neighbours like that save kids' lives. But on this occasion, it has no difference because despite multiple calls, the police only went to the apartment once and didn't actually go inside. Could you be any more lax and useless in your job? I genuinely feel there are some communities that the police and social services really don't care about. Genuinely. I think there are certain places that they go and they're like, oh, well, it's just par for the course. The kids are never happy in environments like this. Ah, just let it go. It's more trouble than it's worth for them. Because if you're being told specifically by a neighbor, I am hearing a child who sounds like it's being abused and beaten, and you don't even bother to go and check it out properly, it's because you don't care. It's because it's not worth the hassle for you, and you should not be in that job. It's as simple as that. Now, prosecutors also said that Ruiz abused Mercedes literally over the entire course of his relationship with her mother. And as we know, it lasted at least a year. They also said that the abuse escalated rapidly in the 3 weeks that Mercedes had moved into his home. That goes without saying, of course, on a common sense level, they have more access to the child. Also, he and his now girlfriend who's living in with him are obviously going to be equally complicit in believing that Mercedes is the problem and then give each other a permission base to treat her horribly. And Ruiz basically masked his abuse as discipline. They also said that Mendoza relied on Ruiz to discipline who she called the bad child. 5-year-old, and she's calling him the bad child. And we've got to remember, Mercedes was a human being. She was a little innocent kid of 5 years of age. And she's being called essentially the evil one, the problem one. And yet she's five. 5-year-olds are not hard to manage. 5-year-olds just want a lot of love, support, attention, care. They want to be fed, they want to be warm, they want to be able to go to sleep at a nice hour, they want to be able to feel that when they wake up in the morning, you still love them. It's a very simple experience. Mercedes didn't have any huge issues in her life. The only issues in her life were her mother and her mother's boyfriend. Now, during the trial, Mercedes' mother, Katrina Mendoza, actually testified against Jose Ruiz. You can see this online. She actually admitted during that cross-examination and when she gave testimony that she did indeed favour Jordan over Mercedes. And she basically said, yeah, I do, but the reason for that is Jordan was my firstborn. Well, that's BS, isn't it? I'm sure a lot of us have got quite big families as I have. And the truth is, yes, it was an existential, transcendental experience of the highest level when my first child was placed in my arms. I will never feel that again because it was the first moment of having a child in my arms and being a mother. Did that take away love from my second child? Absolutely not. I would lie down and die for him in a moment. When my third child is concerned, did that change the way I felt about her? Absolutely not. In fact, if anything, every time it feels even more powerful to some degree regarding the responsibility because you've already got a child and you know what that means and you know what they need. You don't think, well, I love my firstborn and the others can have a just little filtered, downplayed version of my love. It is horrible to imagine that she allows herself that belief system because apparently Jordan's her firstborn. Also, she said, I had trouble bonding with Mercedes. Now that again could be absolutely true. We know that women suffer from postnatal depression. We know that particularly if you've got a relationship that's going wrong at the time as well, you can often project some of the feelings that you have about the breakdown of that relationship onto the stressor that you believe contributed to it. In this case, it could have been Mercedes was born at a time when her and her ex were starting to struggle and therefore she believes that Mercedes bears some responsibility for the breakdown of that relationship. And that can be a very complex web emotion. So we can have some sympathy and understanding as to why those feelings might have developed initially, but then you have to go out of your way to find ways to bond. And I'm sorry, in 5 years, there are a lot of opportunities to do that as a parent. Now, Mendoza also said that the abuse absolutely started to increase in frequency after they moved in with Ruiz. She said that the abuse that was inflicted on her daughter was enormous. She said that Ruiz would pull her hair, would spank her with a belt. She said that he would literally use the metal part of the belt to make sure it hurt her the most. He would hold her breath by covering her mouth and nose. He pulled out her hair. He wouldn't let her eat certain foods. He wouldn't let her drink certain drinks. And he would keep her standing up for hours at a time. Also, he'd deprive her of sleep. She actually went on to describe in court a scenario where Ruiz wrapped a pole around her arms and made her stand in hours in a crucifixion pose. I mean, how do these abusers think of this terror and horror to inflict on their victims? It just blows my mind. The amount of premeditation that you would have to do what I've just said, to actually wrap a pole around a child who's 5 years of age, arms, and make her stand for hours in a crucifixion pose. I mean, that is depraved. It's humiliating. It's agonizing. But how do you even think of those things? How do you even think of those things? I'm talking about this happening. This little girl is not on our planet anymore. She's dead. And this is what killed her. It is just unbelievable to me that somebody can cultivate such an agonizing reality for a beautiful child. Mendoza also confirmed what Jordan had told the police, which was that Ruiz had humiliated Mercedes by wiping feces on her face and using her as a mop when she urinated on herself, so literally mopping the floor with her. And she ended her testimony by saying that she knew she'd done wrong. She said that she should have made better choices. Sorry, Mendoza, we don't buy that, because this is what usually happens where better choices are concerned. What time is it? Oh, it's 8 a.m. in the morning. Should I have that glass of wine? I don't know. Do you think you should have that glass of wine? Should you not maybe have a coffee? Do you know what? I'm going to go for the coffee this morning because I have to drive somewhere. That's a better choice, isn't it? Same as, what should I eat? Well, right here, there are 3 chocolate cakes, or there's 2 bananas. I'm going to have the 3 chocolate cakes. It is, after all, 11 o'clock in the morning. That's a bad choice. We all know that. They're what better choices and bad choices are when it comes down to that kind of language. Better choices is not the right term when you're talking about the murder of your child. Better choices makes it sound like you could just have done something slightly differently and there would have been a different outcome, as opposed to you were complicit in the abuse and murder of your child, which she was, without a doubt. Now, like I said, for the court, they were all having to endure hearing all of these horrible things brought into court, seeing things that they will never be able to let go of. And I'm going to go through a few of those things just so it kind of gives you the understanding and connection with what these individuals, who are just like you and I, sat in court on a jury, had to endure in this case. So there were photos from Ruiz's phone, because we all know, don't we, these perpetrators, they like torture, they like abuse, so of course they're going to record it. It's the downfall of many of them. We know that because their narcissism is so huge that they can't help themselves. They want to relive it again and again. It's funny to them. It's enjoyable to them. In one of the images, Mercedes literally had bruising all over her face. She had a swollen mouth and she had teeth missing. Another image showed her with missing hair. There was a screenshot from the Ring camera in the closet which showed Mercedes standing on multiple thumbtacks, so lots of pins in her feet. There was a photo of Mercedes' face smeared with the feces of Ruiz's dogs. So again, the premeditation there is enormous. He's actively gone and done that, but then it's not enough for him to just have done it. He wants to actually take pictures of it. He wants to record it. And then there's a video shown of Mercedes in Ruiz's car. She's actually holding a heavy jug above her head and she's crying. She's saying it's too heavy. He's just torturing her. He's enjoying it. And understandably, for those people in court, particularly those related to the beautiful little girl who's died, it was too much. Family members walked out of the courtroom. Jurors were unbelievably emotional. And at that point, the prosecution felt that they'd done enough. They didn't actually show any more photos and videos because they felt their job had been done. And it's awful, isn't it? Because one of the things that everybody struggles with is images that depict such reality and horror, because it's going to stain your conscience for the rest of your life. And the prosecution know that's what they're going to do when they show jury members these kind of photos and evidence. But it's needed, because how can you make it real to them? You know, it's semantics, isn't it? You know, when I have conversations about this, the reason I go into such details, I want to make it real. It's not because we're voyeuristic. It's not because we enjoy hearing about the horror that children go through. It's quite the contrary. I need to do it because Mercedes mattered. And what she went through mattered. I'm not going to skirt over the horror of what she endured, because she endured it. That little 5-year-old girl had to live what I'm talking about. But to actually come face to face with those photos and videos must have just been absolutely harrowing. When they brought the medical examiner into court, it was, again, just a litany of horrific injuries that she suffered. So that medical examiner testified that Mercedes had fractures on her spine from overextension. Can you imagine the pain that she was in? Apparently, they matched being wrapped to a pole. So again, that evidence is what she went through as a little girl in that home. Two medical examiners also testified that Mercedes died after rhabdomyolysis that caused her kidneys to stop working. So this condition is a condition caused by damaged muscle, and that damaged muscle releases toxic protein into the blood. So in Mercedes' case, basically, that damage had been caused by the physical abuse. And Dr. Rajesh Kanan, that was the person who actually did the autopsy on Mercedes, they testified that this child suffered trauma, extensive trauma, from top to bottom, all over the body. And her autopsy actually showed that she had a fractured skull and her scalp was missing. And her body was literally covered in bruises. The condition itself, by the way, that she died of doesn't even have to be fatal. If it's addressed immediately and as quickly as possible, essentially, in the days before her death, Mercedes could have been saved, because she would 100% have been showing that she had these signs of a serious illness. She would have been getting gradually worse. Also, she would have started vomiting. She'd have been absolutely exhausted. So these warning signs, these red flags, if they'd been acted on, we could have had a different outcome. Clearly, Mercedes' mother and partner would have got into trouble, but they would have saved her life. But they weren't bothered about Mercedes or her life. They wanted to save their skin. Ultimately, they failed because of their actions, but they were so concerned about their own needs that Mercedes' needs just paled into insignificance. And also, again, I just bring it to you to make it real for us. We have children, many of us who come to my channel. For those of you who don't have children, you will know what it's like to want them, and you'll have had people in your life who have them, and therefore you'll have a complete association with what we would expect to see from people who care for children if that child is ill. Now, whenever your child is struggling, you always err on the side of caution. Of course you do, because you're afraid that if you don't, something bad could happen. It's why you see parents at A&E when a child has bumped the head. Child's acting normally, seems fine, isn't concussed. They just need the expert to say, you know what, everything's fine, because they worry that if the child goes to sleep later and doesn't wake up, they'll blame themselves, and rightly so. We all know how it works. If you've got a child who is progressively getting exhausted, starting vomiting, can't eat, you have been given a million warning signs and they ignored each and every single one of them. Now, as we would expect, and as I've already alluded to, when it came down to Ruiz's defense in the closing arguments, he just tried to put all the blame on Katrina, as in the mother in this case. He said that she was the abuser of Mercedes. She was where the blame lies. And they said that this was proven by all the records that the CPS had against her.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Well, with respect, Mr. and Mrs. Defense, the CPS, who apparently had all these records against her, hadn't acted on any of them, so really that isn't strong at all. In the prosecution's closing argument, they were very strong. So they argued that they know that Ruiz abused Mercedes. They said that he and Mendoza worked together to make Mercedes' life hell. So they weren't denying that the mother in this case was not from hell directly. They were saying she may not have been the one to murder, but she was complicit in the death. However, the person who is fully responsible for the actual killing is Ruiz in this case. So with such a strong prosecution case, it is unsurprising that on the 18th of March 2024, after just, drum roll, wait for it, 45 minutes of deliberation. That's right, 45 minutes. I mean, I'm not sure you have time to leave the court, go to the room where you're going to deliberate, and actually get back to court within 45 minutes. I think we can all agree the prosecution had done a very, very good job in proving this case. 45 minutes. I'd be like, guys, I'm exhausted. This has been quite a traumatic case. Could we just maybe have a sandwich and a cup of tea? Is it just me? No, Margaret, I can see you in the corner. You look exhausted like I do. Listen, if we can't have a sandwich, can I have a bourbon biscuit? Just anything. Can we just take a little bit longer? But equally, I get it. The jury want to make an impact. They're like, 45 minutes, it shows you we are under no illusion and no doubt who killed this beautiful girl. So after that 45 minutes, he's found guilty on 8 counts. He's found guilty of 7 counts of injury to a child causing serious bodily injury and 1 count of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Now, as the jury actually delivered the verdict, Ruiz didn't react. But there again, he's obviously got the emotional cogency of, I don't know, sand. Now, during his sentencing portion of the trial, he did actually cry. And the reason for that is he cried for himself. His mother, who was very, very upset, she was sobbing during this particular moment. She was describing the abuse that he endured as a child. Bear in mind, there's always going to be aggravating factors and there'll always be mitigating factors. So when you're coming down to sentencing, you want to hear about the mitigating factors. In this case, understandably, if the actual perpetrator has had a horrendous childhood, it helps the judge understand why their actions may have fell short to some degree. It doesn't excuse them, but it's more of an understanding point. It is a mitigation factor. And this particular mother said that a few of the abuses that were inflicted on Ruiz by his stepfather literally mirrored the experiences of Mercedes, but many didn't. So yeah, he'd been abused as a kid, but then he thought about other ways of abusing other people's kids and then carried it out. His stepfather apparently did almost beat him to death and would routinely force Ruiz to stand for hours whilst holding heavy objects. Like I said, that should make him more compassionate, not less compassionate. Also, massive failure where his own mother is concerned. Don't stay in relationships with violent perpetrators who almost kill your kids. A little bit of life advice there. When it came down to Ruiz's sentence, he was actually sentenced to life in prison. He was given life in prison on 1 count, 20 years on another, and 10 years on the other 6 counts. Now, when it came down to Mercedes' mother, Katrina Mendoza, obviously she tried to get away with it. So she actually pled guilty to 1 count of assault on a child by omission. She was given a plea deal in exchange for her testifying against Ruiz, so she wasn't going to end up with a life sentence. Her maximum possible sentence would be 45 years, so still a hefty penalty if she was given the maximum sentence. Now, a few weeks after the Ruiz trial, Mendoza also had a sentencing hearing. Mendoza's defense attorney, Todd McRae, he actually asked the judge to sentence Mendoza to probation. Could she have probation, please? Sorry, what? Probation. Does that mean you want probation? Her child was murdered. She watched it happen. Her child was killed horribly by a man who's now serving life imprisonment. Why do you want probation? I just feel that she's not really that bad and she should probably be out walking the streets. I mean, literally, what are you doing, Todd? But apparently that's what he asked for. He said his client needs psychological help. And prison time will not help her to do that. Yeah, let's all be concerned about your client. I mean, when it comes down to it, your client's the real victim in this case, isn't she? Oh, hang on. No, it's her daughter who's dead and who she allowed to be killed. Maybe we don't care about the fact that she's not going to get help in prison. Maybe we don't think about perpetrators in that way because they're perpetrators. But he actually went on to say, she feels like God has abandoned her. She's depressed, her heart's broken. Could you be any more egotistical about your own needs as a perpetrator? You know, God has abandoned me. Sorry? Yes, I think God has abandoned me. Yeah, I probably think he will have as well. What? Yeah, no, I think you're right. No, I'm just saying God is about, feel sorry for me. No, I'm saying that I genuinely think that God will have abandoned you because you're responsible for the death of your child. And you treated her horribly, and she was killed in the most horrific of circumstances. So I'm pretty sure that a different kind of deity, and one that's very hot and fiery, is now going to be the one that you need to be praying to. Do you know what I mean? Her heart's broken. Yeah. Was her heart broken when she was shoving a spoon down her child's throat because her child was so sick she couldn't eat? Was she having her heart broken when she was allowing a man to put a child in a crucifixion position, stand for hours with tacks on her feet so she was having pins put in them for hours. No, apparently it was all okay then, but now she's having to serve the consequences. Her heart's broken. How convenient. He also said that because Mendoza testified against Ruiz, it was basically one way that she could take a step forward and be a better person. So because she's tried to save her own skin by completely projecting the blame onto him, we should all think that that makes her a good person, as opposed to, again, a coward who just wants to protect herself at any cost, even though the cost was her daughter dying. Now, the prosecution was, again, amazing. They were like, no way. Mendoza knew about the abuse, witnessed the abuse, and even invited Ruiz to discipline Mercedes. It was she who requested it. They said, she left a full house of family who loved those girls. She chose to take them back to Jose. She blatantly avoided the CPS. She didn't allow the girls to go to school to avoid the CPS. So basically, very strongly saying, she hid what was happening to her child because she knew that she'd get into trouble for it and it didn't dissuade her. She kept that child in an abusive situation to a point where that child died, where she could have happily just dropped the child off with family who loved her. She made choices that absolutely, explicitly led to the death of Mercedes. Now, Mendoza's father, Rudy Mendoza, he did testify for his daughter in court. He said she was a loving mother. He said that she had pictures of Mercedes and her sister enjoying themselves and who looked happy in the pictures. He asked God to have mercy upon her and compassion. He said, you know, because young kids do wrong things. Again, I'm going to say it. I think you're a little bit deluded there. Young kids do wrong things because they're young kids, and what they should be given is a strong foundation and a sense of compassion and understanding because they're young kids. Not young kids do wrong things, therefore my daughter reacted to it and ended up killing her, but, you know, let's all feel sorry for the perpetrator. It does not make sense to me. He also testified he'd never met Jose Ruiz and that he didn't know his daughter and granddaughters were living with him. So, you know, clearly wasn't that active in his own daughter's life. Now, Homer Beltran, who's Mendoza's godfather, he testified that Mendoza and her daughters lived off and on with him. He said that he genuinely considered Mendoza his daughter and that her daughters were his granddaughters. And he said that the girls, as far as he was concerned, never liked anything and always had what they needed. He also said that he'd never seen Mendoza abuse her daughters and was very upset when Ruiz took Mercedes in January 2022. He testified that my spirit told me she was in danger. He said that he told Mendoza to be, quote, careful before something bad would happen. Now, during that same hearing, Mendoza broke down in tears as her daughter's grandmother read out statements made by Jordan. These are the statements that were made. She said, I wonder why my mummy allowed this to happen to my sister. Grandma, I cannot sleep at night because I see my sissy being hurt. Grandma, I don't understand why we didn't leave Jose. Grandma, I'm so afraid that my mum will come one day and take me back to Jose's house. Grandma, I love my mummy, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid that one day she might come and something will happen to me like my sissy. Grandma, please, Grandma, don't let them take me away. I want to stay with you. Grandma, I do love my mummy and I do pray for her. Grandma, I've been told in school or by other children, is your mama a killer? Has she killed my sissy? God, can you imagine that? Being the grandma and just having to listen to your child, because that's how it's going to feel now. You're directly responsible for them. That your child has got all of these horrendous fears because of what happened to their sister. And also, they're grieving the mother that they love. On the 29th of April 2024, Katrina Mendoza was given the maximum sentence for the plea deal. So it seems like her defense attorney didn't do a good enough job in making the judge think, just give her probation. It's fine. She's served her sentence already. She was sentenced to 45 years in prison, and she actually showed very little reaction as her sentence was given. Again, probably because she's got the emotional cogency of, I don't know, plasticine. Probably a little bit less. But the reality is the judge was not having it. Goes without saying, the judge knew that what happened to that beautiful little girl was absolutely due to the parents being complicit in the abuse. It's as simple as that. The idea that you would allow a woman like Mendoza to just get probation because you know she's got a heart that's broken and she should be walking the streets freely, even though a child will never take another breath on this planet. It just makes no sense whatsoever. I'm so glad that the judge came down on the side of common sense and logic and was not swayed by the argument that just feels sorry for her. She used to be a good mom. We can all used to be something. But the mark of who we are is in our true actions. And if you can allow your child to be tortured day in, day out for weeks by a man who you've elected to ask to discipline that child, then you are absolutely 100% as guilty as far as I am concerned. Do you agree? Do you feel that she got a harsh sentence? Do you feel that she should also be serving life like Ruiz? Do you believe that we should have any empathy or sympathy with Ruiz because what he went through when he was a child? Or are you like me, a believer that they got absolutely what they deserved and hopefully one day they'll meet their true destiny and their true deserving, which is what will happen when they take their last breath? And I don't know. That elevator will be waiting for them to take them to the fiery, fiery depths of hell. Let me know your thoughts in the comments as ever. My heart goes out to that beautiful little girl. I know I'm always graphic in these cases, but I have to be because Mercedes mattered. Her life mattered. And what she went through was excruciating. I have literally not even a breath of sympathy for these two horrific human beings. See you again next time. Take care, guys. Remember, risk offending like that neighbour because children die. They die regularly because people don't take action. And in this case, people did, and it still didn't make a difference, but at least your conscience is clear. Risk offending. Look after yourselves. See you again next time. That's it for Bang to Rights today. Join me for the next episode. See you then. Be safe.